Thank you. Now I'm going to hand over to Pastor Kerry. Thank
you. Warm welcome to you all. If you're visiting here today, this is church. Well, actually, this is not church. Church is outside. Church is out in our community, but this is where you get fed, and hope you'll get fed this morning. And I just want to share with you a couple of things. And if you're visiting, we've got a cafe outside with free coffee as you walk out there, and there's some really good coffee. If you want to pay for it, but this is good coffee. We got good coffee as well, and there's cafes open for lunch if you want to go and have some lunch in there. And afterwards, if you want to have prayer out here, we'd love to pray for you. And it's just an exciting day, isn't it? Yesterday was such a beautiful day. It didn't rain in soccer. You know, all morning I was out there and the sun was shining. It was so good. I was praising God all morning for not getting wet and windy and everything. Oh, it was just so good. God's doing something. God's doing something really amazing. He is unifying the church. He is bringing everyone together. We went to this thing on Friday night, the Awakening Nation, Awaken the Nations of Australia. And it was so awesome that these guys, young guys, are going around and they're bringing all the different denominations around, whether it be in Germany, around Europe, and they're going to book out Etihad Stadium in Melbourne in November, and they're having a massive big evangelistic event. And he said it's amazing how all the different denominations are coming in, a bit like the Billy Graham era. God's moving and he's doing something really exciting. And the thing I'm really excited about is that he's unifying the church. The church. Amen? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we lift up, Lord, the 5th of August with Pastor Godfrey and the meeting President Museveni. Lord, we pray that you will bless that meeting, Lord, as they honour and glorify you. Lord, we pray for favour for Godfrey. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will use him mightily. Fill him afresh. May he see with your eyes, hear with your ears, and speak with your heart. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're doing in your church right now. Lord, how you're bringing your church together, all the denominations that you have. Lord, the arms, the feet, the head, the chest, whatever. You're bringing your whole body together in unity. And I thank you for that. Lord, that is a prayer being answered. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the move of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the prayers of the righteous. We thank you, Lord, for the Anglicans, how rich their prayers can be. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the Presbyterians, the Baptists, the Church of Christ. Lord, how rich they can expand the Word of God. Hallelujah. We just thank you and praise you and just want to see more and more. We're expecting, Lord, we lift up, Lord, the meeting in November at Etihad Stadium in Melbourne for Awakening Australia. Lord, we pray, Lord, that many, many souls will be saved. Many will come to salvation in Jesus' name. And we just lift up this word this morning, Lord. We just pray, Lord, as we speak on when Jesus interrupts the faithful. Lord, we pray that we're all attentive to what you would have to say, not what I have to tell them, but what you would have to tell us this morning through your word. And we just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, I want to hear a lot of amens this morning, okay? So last week we spoke on the comfortable, when Jesus interrupts the comfortable. He calls us to serve and he shows us his power. Remember when I said, God says so. Remember that? Yeah, God says so. And the funny thing about that, so I'm just getting some water, don't mind me. Mouth really dry. When God says so, you know, we had the what would Jesus do? And for many years, we've all been wandering around going, oh, I wonder what Jesus would do. You know, and we go, oh, I think he'd do that. So we go ahead and do it, and it's the wrong thing. And then we go over here and go, oh, what would Jesus do? Oh, yeah, I reckon you'd do that because it feels good. You know, so we do things, what would Jesus do, because we're not reading the Bible. But now I reckon, and someone said, oh, this is going to be the new thing, isn't it, Pastor Kerry? You're going to go, oh, you know, God says so, GSS. because BS, was it? BJSS. Can you wipe that out? It's BJ because Jesus says so. BJSS. Yeah. Whew. Amen. That's it. Thank you. Because we should be walking around not saying, what would Jesus do? We should be saying, yeah, because Jesus says so. Because we should be people of the Word. We should be people that know God's Word. If we read it, true? Well, then why don't we do it? Well, then why don't we do it? You know, you'd put me out of a job. Think about it. Two questions. This morning I'm speaking on Jesus interrupts the faithful. Two questions. What happens when a child of God reaches out to Jesus? And what happens when we come to God in faith? Now, while the result is not always the same, I think it would be helpful for us to examine today the instance where Jesus interrupted the life of a man of faith and changed it forever. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5, and this whole series is on Luke chapter 5. If you missed last week's sermon, it's on the internet, on our website, www.hillside.org.au. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 16, it says, "Now one of the villagers, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy." Now, just stop here. I just want to give you a little thing about leprosy, okay? Better known as Hansen's disease. It's a bacteria that was founded by Dr. Gerald Hansen from Norway in 1873. But leprosy has been around a long, long time. It's a neglected tropical disease caused by bacteria and can be contracted through coughing and sneezing as the person breathes in the bacterium. It's known as an ancient disease, as it was thought of to be nearly eradicated. But in the 1960s, there were 15 million people on Earth with it. Today, there are only 4 million people on Earth with it. And as I'm speaking, new cases of leprosy is being diagnosed every 2 minutes. Over a year, that counts to 205,000 people being contracted of leprosy. Australia has 30 new cases just this year of leprosy, mostly in the Aboriginal communities. In the worst case, leprosy eats away the flesh and bone. And you know I'm a picture person. I'm not going to show you pictures of it because it can be quite horrific. That's the advanced cases of leprosy, where it actually eats away the flesh and bone, and the fingers drop off and limbs drop off because of it. Okay, let's get back to the word. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. Advanced. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. He said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him. Now this is advanced leprosy, disappeared. I'm talking about a guy's limbs are nearly falling off through decay. He was healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what happened. He said, "Go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy." This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and the vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Now, Jesus did something that nobody else was willing to do at the time. He was willing to reach out and touch those who were physically and ceremonially unclean. Now, these people were the untouchable, okay, to the observing Jews at the time. However, Jesus was willing to touch the untouchable. Now, we read that and go, oh, yeah, they're just untouchable. No, these people were really untouchable. You would not touch anyone. You would walk across the other street, other side of the street. Now, I believe this passage has a powerful application to each of us that we don't want to miss. Now, let's take a couple of the observations that we can learn from this healing event and apply it to our lives today. So in your outline that you got given this morning, our hope, number one, our hope is found in Jesus Christ alone. We just sang that song. All our hope is in you. Our hope is in you, Jesus. This leper does a courageous thing. He had heard about Jesus, so he fought through the crowd to find him. This guy had advanced leprosy. Advanced leprosy. So he just wouldn't have been doing the old, hey, excuse me, out of the way. He would have been hobbling as fast as he can, probably losing a couple of toes and fingers as he went along. Who knows? But he advanced leprosy. He fell on his face and he begged Jesus to heal him. Could you imagine that? And without doubt, that was the most important decision this man had ever made. He found himself in a hopeless and helpless condition, yet he didn't give up hope. Now, this leper serves as a good model for us on how we should seek Jesus. He demonstrated two qualities that I believe that we're required before a person can be changed by Jesus. And the first one is that he demonstrated humility. He demonstrated humility. Are you comfortable now? He demonstrated humility. He approached Jesus with the willingness to humble himself. You know, the Bible says he fell on his face before Jesus. If you truly want to seek Jesus, you must be willing to fall on your face before him. If not literally, at least in our hearts. You know, Proverbs 3:34 says, "The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble." It scares me, as I know there are people in the pews of churches who mock their fellow brothers and sisters. Even when it comes to sometimes prayer time, I hear sometimes, not only in this church but in other churches, oh, look at that person. Oh, look at them. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And that's a sign of mocking. And we've got to stop it. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. That's a very powerful verse that we really need to take in and sink in if we're children of God. How dare we knock each other? How dare we mock each other? How dare we mock the Holy Spirit? How dare we mock God and what he's capable of being able to do? And I know some of us have had some really bad experiences and we've gone through some horrific things in our lifetime. And yeah, we've blamed God. But actually, in fact, we shouldn't blame God. Be humble. And God will be so gracious. Says it. He says it. I'm convinced the reason some people will never be saved is because they are too proud to even admit they need help. They deny they have a problem. It would have been like this man looking at himself and saying, "Leprosy? No, it's just a minor skin irritation." Now, you should see some of the people down at the leper colony. I'm a lot better than they are. Have you ever heard people say that? "Oh, don't worry about me, I'm fine. You people down there, they're a lot worse than I am." Others admit they have the problem, but they think they can fix it themselves. You can just hear the leper saying, "Yeah, I've got a problem, but I'm using this new wonder herbal ointment. My brother told me about it, and I'm going to clean this up, leprosy, my own way." You see, this man who had leprosy didn't believe in the saying, "God helps those who help themselves." How many times have you heard that? He realized he couldn't help himself, and that's why he threw himself and his face before Jesus and begged for help. You know, actually, the phrase "God helps those who help themselves" is not in the Bible. It is not true. And it makes my skin crawl when I hear Christians say that. It's not in the Bible. Also, "Oh, the Lord works in mysterious ways." I was at an event the other day and someone actually said that. And I went, "What?" He goes, "Oh, the Lord, you know, it says in the Bible, the Lord works in mysterious ways." I said, "Man, it does not say that." He goes, "Well," I said, "show me where it says it." He Googled it. He suddenly found out it doesn't say that in the Bible at all. Really? God works in mysterious ways? What's this? It's the book of life. It's truth. If we do things God's way, there's nothing mysterious about it. I love this one. "Money is the root of all evil." It's not true. See, it's not true. The Bible does not say that. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. If we had money, if we didn't like money, you wouldn't be sitting in comfortable chairs. You wouldn't have hopped in your car that you bought with money and come here. You wouldn't be in a house with money if you're renting or buying if it wasn't for that. Money isn't the root of all evil. God uses money to do amazing things. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Come on, people. We've got to know our word, because the world is using little biblical concepts and saying, well, they think they're biblical sayings, and they're manipulating the truth. And we need to be careful. We need to know what the word says. Who sins? 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, starting to Who sins? Who sins? Sins. Sorry, it's my New Zealand accent. I've been around... My parents have just come from Cairns and they're sitting in the front row and I've been hanging out with them the last few days. So it's my sins. sons, okay? I actually had someone say this to me the other day, and this person doesn't belong to this church. Bless them. They need to. This is a guy I've looked up to for quite a few years because I've bumped into him for coffees and meetings and stuff like that. And he said to me, "Oh, I tell you what, I've got to tell people about the seven deadly sins." I said, "What?" He goes, "Oh, you know, the seven deadly sins." I said, "What do you mean, seven deadly sins?" He goes, "Well, you know, the seven most deadly sins." I said, "What do you mean, the most seven deadly sins?" He says, "You know." And I said, "Don't." I said, "Where do you get this from?" He goes, "From the Bible." I said, "Don't. Sin is a sin is a sin is a sin." There's a movie, The Seven Deadly Sins. We've got to really think about what we're doing and what we're saying. Number two, he demonstrated faith. He demonstrated faith. He said to Jesus, right, check this out. I want you to focus on this. He says, "If you are willing..." If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Now, this may upset some people, but I'm just reading it from the Bible. This is God's word. God said so. He said to Jesus, "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean." Now, before Jesus can change you, you must believe Jesus can accomplish what you are asking him to accomplish. What is faith? What is faith? Once I read this statement in a popular book on prayer. And again, we need to be careful what we read in books that we buy at Koorong and don't take it for face value. And don't. There's some good books out there, but we've got to be... This is how sharp we've got to be. Okay? Faith is not believing that God can. Faith is believing God will. Sounds great, doesn't it? That sounds really spiritual, but is it correct? Faith is believing that God can. Faith is not believing, sorry, that God can. Faith is believing God will. This leper says something that violates what a whole lot of people are teaching today. He said, if you are willing, if you are willing. The poor leper must not have heard some of our modern preachers or read some of the books on faith. If he had, he would have approached Jesus and said, "I know you will heal me, so go ahead. I claim what's mine. I am naming it and claiming it." How many times have we heard that? Just name it and claim it. And what happens sometimes? I mean, you know, I've experienced people, and I know a few of you have experienced loved ones that have gone to be with the Lord. And even my mother-in-law, bless her, when she died of cancer, we actually had people coming up to us, and we were talking about this the other night. We had people coming up to us saying, "Oh, she mustn't have had enough faith," or "You mustn't have had enough faith in praying." People say dumb, stupid, idiotic, beep things. They do. You can't handcuff God to his word and use it as some magical incantation. It's not about reciting the correct formula and demanding that God respond the way that you desire, that he will respond in the way that you desire. Simple faith is just that, simple. small as a mustard seed. It says, God, I believe you can, but I'm going to presume upon your will. That is what I desire, but only if you are willing. Question, do you have a need? Do you have a need right now? Not a want. We all have wants. Do you have a need? Tell God you're absolutely certain that he can meet your need. Tell him. And express to the Lord that the only issue is his willingness to do so. That is how faith operates. It doesn't show a lack of faith to pray, Lord, if you are willing. And I've actually been stopped by people saying, oh, you shouldn't say if you are willing because God is willing. You should pray, Lord, if you are willing, you can do anything. Just like the leper, if you are willing. Which brings us to number two, our cleansing comes through Jesus alone. Notice three statements that Jesus makes to the leper. It is the same thing he says to every person afflicted with a terminal sin who approaches him in humility in faith. He says, first thing, this is what Jesus says, because Jesus said so, he says, I am willing. Jesus recognizes the faith of the leper who has confessed he believed Jesus could heal him. Now, I can't say that Jesus was willing to heal every leper in Israel. No doubt there were thousands of lepers during his ministry he did not heal. Oh, really? Yes, really. I believe Jesus can heal everyone. And I don't understand it, why it's not always his will to do so. I don't understand it. But I trust in him. However, I can say with confidence that God wants everyone to be saved. I know that. How do I know that for certain? Well, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Great passage, isn't it? Now let's learn something very important about God's will people often miss. According to this verse, it is God's will that every person is to be saved. Yes? Okay. Is everyone going to be saved? Ah, okay. Now you may think, hey, I thought God's will was always done. Not necessarily. For God's will to be done, our will must agree with his will. Do you understand that? Now, what we can be certain about is that it was the will of God to heal that particular leper, but it wasn't God's will to heal every leper. Number two, Jesus said, be healed to the leper. Not all the lepers. He could have done. He could have said, I now be healed, all the lepers in Israel. And I have no doubt that all of the lepers then and there, right then and there, all the lepers would have been healed. But he didn't. The most amazing thing about the story is where it says Jesus reached and touched him. That is incredible. You know, Jews were forbidden to touch lepers. To touch a leper would make that person ceremonially unclean. Do Jews were not even allowed to breathe the same air. That's why lepers had to cover the bottoms of their faces. And everywhere they went out, they'd cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. They had to say that. Could you imagine walking down through Hay Street Mall today and having people that were had an illness or a bacteria or had an infection going, unclean, unclean, unclean? What would you do? Would you go up to that person and touch them? You'd probably pray for them, I hope. This was a warning so clean Jews could avoid them. You know the Talmud? Everyone know what the Talmud is? Talmud is the Jewish civil and ceremonial law at the time. The Talmud stated that a leper could not get within 6 feet of a clean person. Okay? Now try to imagine the scene. Jesus is walking along with a whole bunch of people, with his disciples and a whole bunch of people following him. And this leper breaks through the crowd, literally breaks through the crowd and falls before him, begging Jesus to heal him. I can hear as other members of the crowd gasp in horror. You can just see it, can't you? Oh my goodness. They cover their mouths and turn away from the leper who has broken the law and who's approached Jesus. There would have been a quick, wouldn't it? When Jesus shocks the crowd, he reaches down and touches him. Where the whole crowd are going, whoa, 6 feet. Don't want to breathe the air. Jesus is in this guy's space. The smell. Coughing. And Jesus bends down in his space within a foot of him. Not as a doctor who is examining a patient, but he reaches out in compassion and touches him with the healing power. He touches the untouchable. Nobody else will touch this poor man. How long do you think it's been since he had been hugged or touched by any other human? Intimacy. Intimacy. I don't know if I should speak on this, but intimacy, people today think it's sex. It's not. Intimacy is touch, is a compassionate touch. That's true intimacy. So we've taken the word intimacy and put it in a way. You know, I remember as a kid, walking into church as a kid, and I remember this lady would give me a big hug. And she hadn't probably been shaving for 3 weeks because it was stuff that got me, and she'd go like this. But you know what? I actually enjoyed. Thinking back at the time, I didn't, but I actually think back now, I thought I should have really enjoyed the intimacy, just the hug. How often do we do that as brothers and sisters without going, well, be careful? This guy was hungry for any human touch. And you know, sadly, there's a lot of people in the church today that are just hanging for a touch. Jesus touches him with love and healing. That's why I love this church. When I ask you to pray for someone, you lay hands on someone. That's not only putting power of the Holy Spirit through them, that's actually power of love, compassion and intimacy on someone. Just as Jesus bent down, kneeled down to that leper and actually just touched him and loved him. And in an instant, the leper's disease immediately disappeared. 1 second before, he was terminally ill and ceremonially unclean, and the next moment, he was physically well and ceremonially acceptable. That is a beautiful picture of the moment of salvation. You go up to it, and you should certainly go after it, but regeneration takes place in an instant. In one split second, Jesus touches you and says, "Be healed." In that second, you pass from death to life. That's salvation. Who's been healed in the room this morning? Well, there's a lot of salvation to take place then. Who believes in Jesus Christ? Who's made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior? Guess what? You've all been healed. Wow! From death to life. 1 second you're terminally afflicted with sin, unacceptable to God, and the next second you are forgiven and accepted by God. Number three, so go to the priest. Not the pastor. Okay, says go to the priest. Jesus told the leper to follow the Old Testament directions in Leviticus and let the local priest examine him and certify that he was clean. You know, there had not been a leper cleansed in Israel since the time of the prophet Elisha. That's a long time. Now, this would be the first such miracle the priest would have ever seen in his lifetime. Notice Jesus said, this will be a public testimony to them. To them. Jesus knew the priest would tell other priests who would tell other priests who would tell other priests who would tell other priests. I mean, if you've never been in a pastor's coffee meeting, my goodness, you want to hear some stories that get banded around in Perth. The stories of miracles that are taking place. It's like a, you know, you can get one sip of coffee, that anointing stuff. It's just, phew, it's good. But you, all these pastors are saying, oh, have you heard of this miracle? Oh, have you heard of that miracle? Have you heard of this miracle? And not only have you heard of it, it happened. Happened in my church. Oh, happened in my church. It happened in my church. God's doing something really, really special. I'm starting to hear more and more and more of God's power, of God's miracles starting to flow in his place. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Cool. See, Jesus knew the priests would tell other priests. And that's why verse 15 says the report of his power spread even faster. The network of priests talked about this miracle to everyone. And so many people heard about it that once again, Jesus had to escape to a private place to pray. The important application to us is that if you've been touched, you will testify. You will testify. Have you done that? Really? Have you done that? Have you testified to people that you were once dead and now that you're alive? Have you testified to people that someone prayed for you and you got healed last Sunday or the Sunday before? Have you gone into your workplace and said, oh, wow, we're at church yesterday and we saw someone get healed, or I got healed? Really? Well, if you have, good on you. If you haven't, do it, because Jesus says so. Well, come and tell me, I'll tell everyone. Have you been sharing your testimony with others? We're called to do it. This cleansed leper couldn't wait to tell others Jesus had made a difference in his life. I can imagine that for the rest of his life, he told that story over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Just don't think, oh yeah, I went to church and got saved this Sunday, tell everyone this week and then that's it. Man, forget about winning the lotto. You've won more than the lotto when you give your life to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Fair dinkum. Can you look back at time when Jesus touched you and you were saved? Have you testified of that change? Now's a great opportunity to share. Are you comfortable? Are you really comfortable in those comfortable chairs? Sitting back, yeah, bubble wrap. Come on. Who's been healed in the last couple of weeks? Oh, can you do the honours and walk around? Hey, oh, where do I want you to go? That's a really... Who's got... Yeah.
And I think last week I wanted to speak as well. But I sat back there. Anyway, I think as a preparedness to speak is such an important message that's been coming through to me of recent times. And I was on the plane to Adelaide about a month ago. And you know how you want to get on a plane, just be left alone, sit quiet and have a nice little flight and all that. Anyway, I got in the front seat of the plane, which was fantastic, especially on Jetstar. Get a bit of extra room. There's a seat next to us, next to me, and a chap came in. And sat down, looked a bit scruffy, and we both sat there for about 10 minutes. G'day. And we're about half hour into the flight. And we just started getting talking. Anyway, I'll give you the abbreviated version. And it just came home to me that the Lord puts you in positions when you least expect it. And be prepared to speak.
Yeah.
And this chap was suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, Vietnam vet. And told me his life story. Had lived for 17 years by himself in Darwin, out in the bush. Came back in from the bush and been a Mandarin for 20 years by himself. Got any friends? No friends at all. Lives in his own house. And is the most unbelievable woodworker you've ever seen in your life. Started showing me his pictures of woodwork. And the skill that he had was just outrageous. Anyway, I can't quite remember how it came about, but obviously I'm getting prompted here. And prompted by the Holy Spirit, there's no doubt about it. You've got to say something here, boy. And I said, how was Vietnam? Stupid question, but I thought, it's an open question. And he said, well, he said, Vietnam to me was the start of a downward spiral. And he said, I was walking along and my two mates in front of me got walked into landmines and blew their legs off. That's pretty confronting. And he said, the next minute, in flew an Iroquois helicopter. And landed in front of us, and out came through the doors a Catholic priest in all his robes. And he said, that was my vision of Christianity. This man came out of the Iroquois helicopter and said, bless you all, you'll be right, no worries. These two guys with their legs shot off. And he said, hop back to the Iroquois and flew off. So what did I say? Not too much, but a link in the chain is what came to me. And I said, brother, that is not what the Lord is saying to you, and was able to share with him a gospel briefly.
Brilliant.
Now, I don't know where that was going to lead to, but all I'm saying to us all is be prepared that the Lord will put you on the spot when you least expect it. It's not about you leading a person to Christ. It's about you being prepared to be a link in the chain and speak when you're asked to be spoken or when you need to speak too. Thanks.
It's good. You know, I went to this awakening in the nations on Friday, and these big guys were speaking, and it was funny. He said, God's doing something really amazing. You can travel the world and go, oh, bless you, Jesus loves you. Say that to people, you know, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And people will reply, go, oh, thank you, bless you, bless you, bless you. You say that in Australia? You say that in Australia, but things are changing. I know Jason, he'll walk down the street and just start talking Jesus into people. People want to hear. People actually want to hear. There's a stirring of the Spirit. There's a stirring. going on in people's lives that people want to hear about Jesus. And we were challenged the other night by just saying, you know, when you go and get a coffee, you know, people say, oh, I'm an introvert, you know. You got a tongue, you got a mouth. You know, you can say, oh, I'll have a flat white, please. You can say that, can't you? Why can't you say, oh, Jesus loves you? Why can't you? Why can't we? You know, and you might get a reaction of, what? Or you might get a reaction of, yeah, thanks, mate. Yeah, good on you. Or you might go, what, you're the third person that said that to me. What are you talking about? People want to know about Jesus. People want to know about healing. People want to be healed. People are broken. People need to hear that brokenness is being healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dave Bonanno, I know you've got a story. You've shared it with the congregation, but this is a confirmation. You know, when people say, oh, yeah, I've been healed, yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, let's celebrate, but let's verify it. Well, the other week, David got up in front of you. I know he did. I was away, and he spoke about, let's share. But it's been verified. Quickly, yeah. He's hiding. He knew I was going to get him.
In 2005, Jill and I were travelling overseas, and I had pneumonia and I didn't know it. I was at a conference and I got very, very ill, and the doctor over in the United States looked at me, did a bunch of tests, and he said, you're about to have a stroke. He said, immediately put me on blood pressure medication. That was 2005. And I was a little bit lighter than I am today. In the ensuing years, I ballooned out. I was roughly about 90 kilos at that time. I ballooned out to 103 kilos. And I was on blood pressure medication all that time on the highest dosage. And a couple of weeks ago, I came out for prayer here. Russell Sage was praying. And I fought with God about it because I didn't go out for prayer for healing. I went out for prayer for another thing. And the Lord floored me. And I had to go to the doctor the next week, and he had done a bunch of tests on me. And he said, looks like your blood pressure's come down. And he said, come back in 2 weeks' time. That was just Saturday gone. My blood pressure, without blood pressure medication for some weeks now, is absolutely perfect.
Ooh. Now, will God heal everyone that has blood pressure? He can. But will he? That's up to him. Yes, John? Just one more. We're going to have chances of sharing testimonies ongoing, because we should be sharing this. If we can share it in here, well, then just maybe we might have enough boldness to be able to go out and share it with someone in our workplace or on the street.
Praise God. With HCCO, I've been involved there. Excuse me. And over the ensuing time, we would have had about, I think, a good 10 to 20, I don't know the full number, of people making a commitment to Christ.
That's awesome.
First of all, I'd ask the church to have HCCO and the people we relate to pray for that they would come through. Now, I've had about 8 people who've said, yes, I'll come to church, yes, I'll come to church. But you know there's that warfare that's going on from the world they're in, tattoos and the whole turmoil. But I'd ask the church to pray for those people to have the willingness to break that barrier and come into the family of God. Every time I see them, yes, I'll come. And a lady last week, Alice, I think, an old Aboriginal lady, and she came in, she was the last lady I saw, and And she came in and sat down. And she was hobbling away and said, well, okay, tell us a story. What's wrong, this type of thing? We just had some few nice words. Oh, she said, my knees are killing me. Oh, as we say that. We shouldn't say things are killing us, I tell you. But she said that. And I said, well, come on. Would you mind if I pray for you? So I prayed for her. And, oh, that feels better. And I said, well, why don't you walk around? And she walked around a bit. Oh, I feel good now. Oh, that's good. Nice. You know, good. Praise God. These are happening all the time. We're getting people who are being prayed for. They have a partial healing and that type of thing. But we definitely need the prayer behind to break the barrier, that they will take the next step. And so I just want to share that with you as part of an encouragement that, yes, we're HCO and people being helped, but they need the next step. They need to come into that relationship with people so they don't feel so, I don't know, different. They certainly look different, I can tell you, when you know when they come.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we've had a person run out of here from HCCO because they were healed. But they didn't understand it. They thought we're a bunch of weirdos. And then there was some sort of witchcraft going on, but they were healed and they ran out. And they've never seen them again, praise the Lord, bless them. But there's things that are happening. Will you testify? Will you testify? As I said, we've got the music team up, please. Times we're going to have many times in the next few weeks to testify. So if you're sitting here going, oh, I wish I testified, if you put your hand up, you'll have plenty of times next week and the following weeks to testify God's grace, God's mercy, God's healing power, God's amazingness, awesomeness. He's good. Remember, he's gracious to the humble. And if you just humble yourselves, get rid of that pride and proud thing and humble yourselves and be a vessel for God, be an ambassador for God, and go to, I mean, like, God's opened doors in my life that I never ever thought that it's only God. You know, Jesus is still in the business of touching the untouchables. You may feel like that you're too dirty or too wicked for Jesus to touch you with his forgiveness today. You know, you may remember the movie The Elephant Man. Based on a true story of a man living in London during the 19th century, John Merrick. He was terribly disfigured by neurofibromatosis. His own family rejected him because of his hideous appearance. Dr. Frederick Treves found John working in a circus as a sideshow freak. And Dr. Treves took John to a London hospital and began to treat him as a person instead of some sideshow oddity. You know, he provided books for John and soon discovered that he was a kind and he was an intelligent person. After a newspaper reported on John's progress, Madge Kendall came to visit him. Madge was talented. It was a talented actress and a beautiful woman of high society. She was also a committed Christian. On one visit, she presented John Merrick with a copy of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. He felt like an ugly beast cowering before a fairy princess. He was at such loss for words, and he opened the book and began to read. His voice was squeaky and broken as he read the words from the second act. See how she leaned her cheek upon her hand that I might touch her cheek. As he read that line, Madge Kendall slipped quietly to the seat beside him and she responded with the words of Juliet she had memorized from her years in the theatre. And John read and she recited the rest of the act together. And when it was done, Madge Kendall leaned over and kissed his swollen, leathery cheek. Dr. Treves later recorded, from that moment on, John Merrick was a changed man. A touch of compassion. Sin has disfigured each of us until even our righteousness is filthy as rags. Compared to the perfect holiness of God, our sinful lives are hideous and grotesque. But the Lord Jesus Christ leaned over at Calvary and gifted us with mercies of heaven, and since that day, none of us have ever been the same. Amen? Do you need cleansing today? Will you come to Jesus and fall at his feet and say, actually, Lord, actually, let's pray right now. Every head bowed, eyes closed. You know, because we all need help in different areas of our lives. None of us are perfect. Just repeat after me, Lord, I need help. I have a sin problem. You know what it is. I know I'm going to die from this sin unless you forgive me. I know you can save me. Will you? I ask you right now to touch my sinful heart and take away that sin. Break me free. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. We sing that song, Every Hope. Let's stand. And if you need prayer this morning, just during the song, if you want to humble yourself and you want to get before the Lord, you can come down and knee at the altar, you can lay on the floor, you can, you know, you can do anything. You can dance, you can wave, you can clap, you can put your hands in your pockets, you can sit down, you can do whatever you want, but don't worry about what the person in front of you is doing. You just have this time with God, this time humble yourself and do what you got to do to be free. Amen. I'm serious.